Let's go ahead then, and we will recognize Senator Williams for consideration of Patrick Dynan to the nomination for the Enhanced Iowa Board. Do you have a subcommittee report? Senator Williams?
I do, Mr. Chairman.
Signed by?
It is signed with recommendation from Senator Dotzler and myself. Senator Lofgren was not available to sign.
Okay, you are in order for opening comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Dynan is up for nomination on the Enhanced Iowa Board. He's been on it before, and we believe he's a good candidate for this position. He's a self-employed banking consultant, and we'd move for his acceptance.
Is there any discussion for Senator Williams? Seeing none, no more discussion. The chair recognizes Senator Williams for closing remarks on nomination Patrick Dynan for the Enhanced Iowa Board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I simply move that Patrick Dynan be added to the end block.
We'll now vote on moving the confirmation of the nominee to the calendar. A short form is requested. Senator Bolcom? Short form. All those in favor of moving the acceptance of Patrick Dynan to the in Enhanced Iowa Board, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. So moved. He will move to the M block. Second, Senator Rosenboom, you are in order for the consideration of Lisa Hine of the nominee to the Enhanced Iowa Board. Do you have a subcommittee report?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the subcommittee of myself, Senator Dotzler, and Senator Kreienbrink have all approved her appointment and have signed the form.
Thank you, Senator Rosenboom. You're in order for opening comments on Lisa Hine.
Had a delightful conversation with Ms. Hine earlier. She has worked for the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation for 33 years. Very active in a number of activities related to bike trails and just overall tourism sort of things and conservation type activities, and is eminently qualified for this. So I would move her appointment.
Thank you. Are there any discussion or questions of Senator Rosenboom on Lisa Hine? Seeing none. You're now in order for closing comments or closing remarks on Lisa Hine for the Enhanced Iowa Board.
Mr. Chairman, I simply move the appointment of Lisa Hine to the Enhanced Iowa Board.
Thank you, Senator Rosenboom. We'll now vote to move the confirmation of Lisa Hine to the Iowa Enhanced Iowa Board. Senator Bolcom requests short form. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Lisa Hine will move to the end block. Now we are in order for Senator Johnson on the confirmation of Angie Vonku to the Enhanced Iowa Board. Senator Johnson, do you have a subcommittee report?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Your subcommittees of myself, Senators Dotzler and Garrett, all signing, recommend Angie Vonku to the Enhanced Iowa Board.
Okay, thank you. You are now in order for the opening comments on Angie Vonku.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I spoke with Angie this morning, and she has great interest in the Enhanced Iowa Board. We have some similar background interests, and one of her comments on her form that I found of interest personally was interested in helping small towns continue to thrive. And I appreciate the conversation I had with Angie this morning, and I would simply move her confirmation to the Enhanced Iowa Board.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. Is there any discussion for Senator Johnson on Angie Vonku? Seeing none, you are now in order for closing remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Angie to the Enhanced Iowa Board.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. We'll now vote on moving Angie Vonku to the calendar. Short forms requested. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Angie Vonku will now be moved to the end block. We will now take up Senate Study Bill 1267. At this time, I recognize Senator Costello for opening comments on Senate Study Bill 1267.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move that we dissolve into a subcommittee of the whole for Senate Study Bill 1267.
The motion has been made to dissolve into a subcommittee of a whole on Senate Study Bill 1267. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We are now in subcommittee of a whole. Senator Costello, you are in order for opening comments on Senate Study Bill 1267.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the HHS budget bill. And this bill appropriates a total of $2.03 billion from the general fund and 4,566.3 FTEs to the Department of Aging, Department of Public Health, Department of Human Services, and Veterans Affairs, and also the Iowa Veterans Home. This is an increase of $36.9 million and an increase of 155.7 FTEs compared to FY21. This bill does not contain the appropriation for $60 million for mental health regions, as that's contained in the SF 587, that bill, which we've already passed off the floor. It is in our budget. It's just not in this bill because it was in that other bill, which has passed already. This bill also appropriates a total of $424.5 million from other funds, which is a decrease of $14.5 million compared to fiscal year 21. Some significant changes are an increase of $1 million for the Centers of Excellence that the governor had, and this appropriation would provide $500,000 grants for two Centers of Excellence. The centers are to demonstrate regional collaboration in assessing targeted medical needs of local residents. This would facilitate collaboration between rural hospitals and health systems to leverage resources and develop a business model for long-term sustainability. Another item in there that we have is $1 million one-time money for SafeNet RX for them to implement automated prescription packaging and also set up a warehouse and try and expand their operation. They take in unused drugs that are unexpired and sealed properly, and they get them out to people for free that can use them through the specialty clinics, free clinics, and other pharmacies and things like that. And it's a great work, and I want to try and boost them along and help them to help more people. We also have an increase of $200,000 for the psychiatric residency program to support the creation and training of 4 psychiatric residents to provide mental health services in underserved areas of the state. We have an increase of $200,000 for fulfilling Iowa's need for dentists with the FIND project. So that's where we provide the funds, and the Delta Dental will match those funds and to help get more dentists in rural Iowa. We have an increase of $50,000 for the donor registry. They have a little bit more demand with the We passed where the hunting licenses, you could get your name put on the donor registry there, and it's increased the numbers by quite a bit, and so we're increasing that to meet their need, their request. I have an increase of $381,000 for 3 new FTEs for the medical examiner's office to eliminate the backlog and expedite autopsies. We know we had a pretty big problem with them having a backlog. They've kind of gotten the backlog down, but they need to hire new examiners to help in the future and to make it so that they're not doing more than they're supposed to do and meet federal requirements there. We have an increase of $1.1 million for child support recoveries for increased cost of administration and to replace some federal incentives. We have increase in Medicaid rates of $20 million, and that includes $8 million for the nursing facilities and an increase of $8 million for the HCBS provider rate increase, and an increase of $3.9 million for a provider rate increase for PMIX, which is really important, an increase of $100,000 for reimbursement for air ambulances. On the air ambulances, the Medicaid rate is way below the Medicare rate, and extremely below what the private insurance pays. I'd kind of like to just bump that up a little bit, acknowledge that inequity. We do have an increase of $359,000 for Hawkeye to fully fund the need estimated by the March Forecasting Group. Got an increase of $1.4 million for Eldora, an increase of $1.8 million for Cherokee, an increase of $1.4 million for Independence for all of our, the MCIs there. And there's a net decrease of $1.9 million for Glenwood, and then an increase of $2.8 million for Woodward. And so that there was one house in Glenwood that they closed and moved the residents to Woodward, and that kind of reflects that. And there's also other factors in that, those numbers, but that's the main thing. So we felt like we'd be better to meet their needs, or at least to meet the needs of these individuals better in Woodward. Net increase of $1.6 million for Cusco, and an increase of $5 million for field operations to replace one-time funding from FY21 and to hire some additional FTEs to relieve caseloads. Also, an increase of $770,000 for DHS's general administration, largely due to increased cost. excuse me. We also have some language in here that pertains to the intern psychologist rotation program in a mental health storage area in a couple of different ways. We change the language so the psychologist doesn't have to be located physically in the shortage area, but rather that they serve the area that's in a shortage. And secondly, if they are in an area that's a shortage and then that area ceases to become a shortage area, they're still the intern is still allowed to serve in that area under the program. we also allow DHS to use unobligated funds to appropriate for adoption subsidies for the related items such as the Guardian Assistance Program and providing kinship foster care stipends if there is money remain after providing subsidies for adoptions. Also, we are making it so the nursing facilities won't have their rebasing this year, but put that off to another time when we don't have COVID disrupting things and making that more in line with what the trend would be, and as well as not trying to do it during a pandemic. We're also setting the pharmacy dispensing fee that we have through Medicaid, this is just Medicaid, is at $10.07 right now. And so there's some of the chain pharmacies such as Walmart, CVS, and Walgreens have negotiated dispensing fees with the MCOs, which are at a lower rate, and this would allow us to use that lower rate for those national chains. And I might mention that Hy-Vee is excluded, even though they are a national chain, because they are an Iowa company and based here in Iowa. This would not affect the smaller individual pharmacies like Medicap or any of the single owner pharmacies. The another thing that we're doing here is on the minimum occupancy required for nursing facilities. That's normally they have to have occupancy of 85% or greater, or they get penalized. So because of the lower numbers recently, because of the pandemic, we're allowing them to go down to 70% before they're penalized for not having their occupancy up. And we're trying to help people we don't want them to take beds that are, you know, and let them not unregistered beds, I guess is the term I'm looking for. And this could cost them, save them from having some rather significant fines. I think it's a necessary thing to do. We are having a study in here to convene a work group to review nursing home reimbursement and rebasing and to recommend improvements related to methodology, the process, the use of prospective payments, and applicable timeframes to increase efficiencies and accuracy. and the determination of reimbursements and a reduced duplication of effort more adequately reflect the cost of care and to address changes in patient acuity levels without reliance on a retroactive rate adjustments and to incentivize quality outcomes. That's what this report will be due December 1 of 2021. So what I'm trying to get at here with this, when a rate increases there's a reassessment of acuity levels for a provider, the rate will go into effect and then they won't get paid that rate. They'll get paid the old rate for a while until everything gets put into the system and the MCOs get ready to pay it, and then they'll go back and pay them the difference. And I think it's redundant to have to pay them twice for the same service. And we really want to try and get at that, how to fix that issue, because it causes confusion. And I'd like to solve that problem. We also have language that requires the DHS to review federal Medicare, state law, and rules restrictions related to provision and reimbursement of various health services for children, and to submit a progress report, including the findings of the review and recommendations to the Governor and General Assembly by October 1st, 2021. Standards for telehealth and other services are based on Medicare standards, which don't work for children's. And so we've realized that more through the pandemic, that there are some things like that applied behavioral analysis for children that you wouldn't use on a Medicare patient. And so we want to allow that, and so they're going to work out what should be allowed and what shouldn't, and so have recommendations for us next year. Hopefully that will all work out, and we won't have to do any changes, but we'll have recommendations if we do need to make changes for next year. We have another item in here that applies regarding laws regarding court-ordered services for adults on Medicaid to kids as well. And this allows kids for court-ordered services to receive substance abuse or mental health service for up to 3 days before MCOs are able to apply the medical necessity criteria. So what's happening here, we have a certain subgroup that we had done this earlier. For 3 days, the judge can order the treatment, and then after that, the MCO starts determining whether that's the appropriate treatment and trying to find the appropriate services for them. And there was one group of kids that were this didn't apply to. And so there are a small number, maybe 15 kids or so, that we feel are in an inappropriate setting, that they've been adjudicated there and they can't be moved out unless the judge lifts that order, and they're probably not really in the appropriate place that's best for them. And that's what we're trying to get at there. So finally, we have a requirement for the Department of Human Services to implement the eligibility verification system for public assistance programs to verify the eligibility of an individual who is an applicant for any such program, and creates new Iowa Code Chapter 239 relating to various eligibility verification and authentication measures for public assistance programs. And so that's kind of what the main points of the bill. That last part, we might be known as asset verification. And what our goal is with that is to try and make sure that the people that are eligible for these services get them, and that people who are not eligible don't get them, and to find that out quickly and help people get that need the resources to have them and not waste them on people that are really not eligible and do not need them so much. So we can use that, whatever money we're able to save, for other programs for other people that are in need as well. And Mr. Chair, that concludes my opening remarks.
Thank you, Senator Castillo. At this time, we'll entertain any comments or questions from the public or the lobby up in the Southwest Gallery. Thank you. At this time, I'll entertain any comments from the floor. Is there anyone wanting to? Oh, there is. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll recognize the gallery and go ahead and introduce yourself and who you are representing.
Thank you. My name is Tom Chapman. I'm the director of the Iowa Catholic Conference, which is the public policy group for the Catholic Bishops of Iowa. I'm here to speak in opposition to Division 13 of the bill, which actually does two things. It creates an asset test for food stamps, and it also has the new verification system for government assistance. Related to the new state asset test, we believe that's problematic. The asset limit for food assistance, SNAP, food stamps, would be $2,250 per household. That's very low. And it also says that households with more than one vehicle would be at risk of losing their eligibility for food stamps. Just the fact of owning two cars, especially in rural Iowa, doesn't mean that people don't need help to get food. Most people need a car to get to work. We believe that this part would put 1 in 6 Iowans currently enrolled in food assistance at risk of losing benefits. Secondly, you know, the creation of a new verification system, I agree with the senator, is not necessarily an issue. You know, only those who qualify should receive benefits. The question is how you do it. There's a couple pieces in this part of the bill. One thing is if there's any discrepancy between the information that the person gives the state and the state's review of that information, a timer starts, and so you've got 10 days to get that resolved, and we believe that's too short a time. Because sometimes people receive mail once a month that they would need to help prove that they need the assistance, and that 10-day period would be too time for that mail cycle to go through. Undoubtedly, some people would be lost in this system even though they actually qualify. A recent study of SNAP recipients in California found that for every one ineligible household who was screened out, 3 eligible households also left the program. Finally, the idea that all the people in a household should be required to be means tested, it's not a good idea. This would mean if someone has lost their job and has moved in back with family or just some friends moving together to get back on their feet, they're going to have to go through this process, even if they themselves are not applying for benefits, if I'm reading that correctly. So thank you.
Are there any other comments from the gallery? Okay. Identify yourself and who you represent.
Good afternoon. I'm Leslie Carpenter with Iowa Mental Health Advocacy. This bill has a lot of wonderful things that I really appreciate. The increased reimbursement rates are wonderful. I see increased funding for many good things. However, Division 13 is something that I have to oppose. I understand that there are a lot of people in this room that believe there's a high level of fraud. And I'm here to tell you I don't believe that, and I don't believe that there's enough fraud to outweigh the benefit of the people that really need these services. Furthermore, I'm really saddened and disappointed to see this division of the bill added to a human resource budget bill. It kind of breaks my heart. And I just had to tell you that. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Seeing now, I will open it up to senators that would like to speak on the bill. And Senator Reagan, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to be brief because I know we're pushing up against another committee meeting, but I think it goes without saying that there are some good things in this bill, but I am very disappointed in a few of the things that aren't there. I know that we have a large amount of money that we're spending, over $2 billion. I mean, just saying that is a big thing to say. Over $2 billion, this is the first meeting that the Health and Human Services are acting on anything. We did not meet at all. And I think that that is really somewhat unconscionable that we have not had any meetings when we had a pandemic and the healthcare crises that we had this year. So I would say that we needed to address childcare, we needed to address food assistance instead of worrying about taking people off of assistance as far as regarding food. It is a time during this pandemic that we all were made aware of there is a need out there. And we do want it to go to the right people, but Let me tell you, if you take people off of food assistance, you will increase the need in food banks and soup kitchens. Hunger doesn't go away just because we're not going to help people with it. You will still have hungry people. I think that there were some good things regarding as far as the provider rates, but there were also provider rates that didn't get addressed, as I mentioned, child care and a few other items. But like I said, with the time constraint, we'll move to the floor with those, and I'm just hoping that we can look at things like some of the constructive advice we've given you on the managed care organizations, that there are awesome things there, as well as telehealth to look at as we move forward. If we were going to put policy in something, this might have been an issue that we could have addressed with exactly with telehealth and a few other of those things. We had many child care assistance bills that did not move forward, and I think those deserved our attention. So with that, I would oppose this bill and urge my colleagues to do as well.
Thank you, Senator Reagan. Seeing no additional comments, Senator Costello, you're in order for closing comments on Senate Study Bill 1267.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the input and the thoughts that you have and concerns, and I just, you know, we are trying to follow federal guidelines in the changes that we are making, maybe with the asset tests and things like that. And so I think these are important things. It's obviously this bill we've run through off the floor already before that portion of the bill that we're including there. And so I'll just leave my comments there. I appreciate your help on this, Amanda, or Senator Reagan, and I value your input as well. So I just would go ahead and move this, the Senate Study Bill 1267 be moved out of the subcommittee of the whole.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. We are now ready to vote on Senate Study Bill 1267. Record is requested. Record roll call is requested. Secretary will take roll. Senator Kreinbrink, yes.
Senator Bolcom?
Senator Bolcom, no.
Senator Selsey?
Senator Selsey, no. Senator Costello, yes.
Senator Kinnear, yes.
Senator Kinnear, yes.
Senator Dotsler?
Senator Dotsler, no.
Senator Edler?
Senator Edler, yes.
Senator Garrett?
Senator Garrett, yes.
Senator Guth?
Senator Guth, yes.
Senator Johnson?
Senator Johnson, yes.
Senator Klemisch?
Senator Klemisch, yes.
Senator Kalker?
Senator Kalker, yes. Senator Peterson, no.
Senator Reagan?
No. Senator Reagan, no.
Senator Reichman?
Senator Reichman, yes.
Senator Rosenboom?
Senator Rosenboom, yes.
Senator J. Smith?
Senator J. Smith, no.
Senator T. Kaler?
Senator T. Kaler, no.
Senator Williams?
Senator Williams, yes. Senate Study Bill 1267 passes 12-7. I did excuse them until they arrived, so.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that we dissolve from the subcommittee of the whole and go back into the full committee.
Senator Costello moves that we adjourn from subcommittee as a, of a whole and return to the full committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are now back in full committee. Senator Costello, you're are in order for opening comments on Senate Study Bill 1267.
Thank you. I just leave my previous comments as they stand, and there is an amendment.
Senator Costello, you're in order for opening comments on Amendment 2141.
Okay, our amendment that we have here, the main thing that we're doing here, the most important thing I think is to reflect in the an increase in the RSVP program for the volunteer for older folks, and we're what's going to happen, it goes through the Department of Public Health and then is transferred out into the Economic Development Authority, and so we're increasing that by $139,700. Because we're expanding that program, it's proved to be a good program. We're expanding it for 19 more counties, as I understand, and they've already got the grants lined up, so I think this is important to get that money in there, as I understand it. We had some adding problems when we added up the allocations of addictive disorders, so we got that straightened out, and some FTE numbers straightened out. There was a situation where inequities were for certain providers in the fee-for-service program, and I was trying to address that with some language. We're going to take that language out because it wasn't going to accomplish what I wanted, and we need to work on that some more. And I've spoken with DHS, and we're going to work on that and get that figured out over the interim, and hopefully, so we'll take that part out as well. That's basically what the amendment does.
Thank you, Senator Costello. Are there any questions of Senator Costello on Amendment 2141? Seeing none, Senator Costello, you are in order for closing comments on Amendment 2141.
Thank you. I just moved the amendment.
Senator Costello's moved the committee amendment 2141. We now will vote on Amendment 2141. Senator Bolcom, short forms requested. All those in favor of Amendment 2141 signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign. The amendment has passed. Now we are back on Senate Study Bill 1267 as amended. Are there any additional comments or questions of Senator Costello on Senate Study Bill 1267 as amended? Seeing none, Senator Costello, you are in order for closing comments on Senate Study Bill 1267 as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just move Senate Study Bill 1267.
Senator Costello has moved Senate Study Bill 1267 as amended. We're now ready to vote. Senator Bolcom, record is requested. Record roll call is requested. Secretary will take roll.
Senator
Kreinbrink, yes.
Senator Bolcom,
no.
Senator
Selsey, no.
Senator Costello.
Senator Costello, yes. Senator Connery, yes.
Senator
Dotzler, no.
Senator
Edler, yes.
Senator
Garrett, yes.
Senator
Guth, yes.
Senator
Johnson, yes.
Senator
Clemish, yes.
Senator
Kelker, yes.
Senator
Peterson, no.
Senator Reagan,
no.
Senator
Reichman, yes.
Senator
Rosenblum, yes.
Senator
J. Smith, no.
Senator
T. Taylor, no.
Senator
Williams, yes. Senate Study Bill 1267 amended has passed 12-7. Senate Study Bill 1267 as amended has passed and will be moved to the calendar under Rule 40. Seeing no other business before the Appropriations Committee, Senator Reagan moves we adjourn.